You are listening to Engaging and Exciting Conversation on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Get ready. Now.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Radiant Culture Podcast. This is your host, Cookie Monster. We're back again with yet another episode. And this week is... Well, we're in March and it's Women's Month. So everywhere has been plastered with women stuff. Like everywhere you go, every little video on Facebook or Instagram is talking about women, the empowered woman, and all the different marvelous and amazing things that women have done in our world.
Better know it.
Yeah, ones better know it. we're going to be talking about women today. The last time we had a conversation about women, no, it wasn't about women, it was about feminism. This is early on. No, seriously, yeah, today we were talking about the empowered woman, and we're going to be talking about what exactly is the empowered woman. Can a woman be all the things that the world, you know, the world is telling us that a woman can be anything she wants to be. She can be Wonder Woman and be a rock star and be a boss and accomplish all these amazing things and still be an amazing mom and still being an amazing wife and, you know, all of these different hats that women get to wear, which is phenomenal and amazing, you know, and hats off to all the women out there. But the question we really want to ask today, and the conversation that we're having, is whether or not a woman can be successful at all these things without it compromising certain other aspects of her life. So that's the discussion. And to talk about this very exciting subject today, I'm joined by two wonderful human beings.
With hesitation there, wow.
No, I was looking for the appropriate word to use. Okay, so today we've got, I was about to say Grace.
I mean, that is
technically
my name.
True.
Yes. Today we've got Nyasha in the house. Hey, Nyasha.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you very much for having me back.
Awesome. Awesome. And then we have none other than the man himself. The man, the myth, the legend, PC.
What's up?
PC's back in the house, guys. It's been a while.
It's been a minute.
He's been on a bit of a hiatus. And so it's good to have PC in the house. He drove in with a very nice car. Just putting it out there. Very, very nice car. I was like, hey, ain't that the Lord? The Lord is blessing people. Or maybe, did you go to see Victor?
Thank you. You've just sowed a seed in my head right there for next Monday. Victor.
I don't know, man, but you kind of get the gist. You kind of get the gist of the kind of car we're talking about here. But anyway, guys, so I'm really thrilled to have this discussion. I'm a bit nervous, but, you know, let's do it. Nyasha, hi.
Hi.
Okay, you've got this grin on your face that I'm just like...
I'm just wondering, like, what you're going to say to me.
Nothing. But yeah, guys. So, I think, I'll be very honest. Often, I've thought, yo, you know, we love and respect women. But then, you're like, it just feels like every other day is Women's Day. March. You guys, you've got like a whole month dedicated to you. And then, so I now get confused when I hear, like, International Women's Day, and then I think South Africa has its own Women's Day, which kind of ends up being Women's Day here as well. And I'm like, yo, you know, getting a bit of Women's Day fatigue, aren't you?
Or jealousy.
But it's fine. But seriously though, you know, it's quite amazing. I was raised by a single mom, and I saw what my mom had to do, you know, to take care of me and my brother, and just all the different hats she had to wear and how hardworking she has been, you know, and she raised like an amazing gentleman, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, but the point is there's so many women who do just phenomenal things out there. And I think it's worthy to celebrate them and to celebrate all the different things that they've done. But the question though, is can a woman do everything? Because I think that's the mantra that's out there, right? That you can be anything you want to be. You can do anything you want to do. You can do all those things you want to do. But really, is that really true?
Wow, and they're both looking at me. Like,
oh, come on.
Is that a question directed to me?
Not necessarily. It's just a question that's been thrown out there. So whoever wants to catch it.
In which nation should be.
Well, I will say this. Can anybody be everything and do everything?
I'm every woman. No, okay, I'm joking.
You know what I had in my head? Uh-huh. I am a superwoman.
You see what I'm saying? So you guys sing the songs. So yeah, but seriously, yeah, yeah.
No, but for real, yeah, the question remains, like, can anybody do everything? I think it's not possible to assume that you can do everything and perform everything as well as you'd like. I think the messaging has been really clear but unclear. You know, it tells women that you can be whatever you want to be, you can do X, Y, Z, da, da, da. But even men, if you ask them now, like, who have put their careers before everything, who have, you know, climbed ladders and, you know, in whatever, in the corporate world, you know, they do say that actually it was at the cost of some other things. You know, you can't just go after one thing, one track minded, and think that you can do all of the other things. You know, some things are going to be missing, your family, your wife, your friends, whatever, something's going to be missing out. So I think there has been a lot in the women's movement, which has been wonderful to move women forward. But there are some things I think have really brought us back and actually taken away some of that independence, some of that freedom that we were looking for. You know, now we're trapped in a different kind of prison of trying to be equal to men, which I don't particularly think that we really want to be equal to men. We just want to be able to do the same things if we wanted to, like, think about our career first before we get married, or, you know, whatever the case might be. So, yeah, I don't think we can do everything. I don't think we can have everything in equal parts. I think, as anything, you make a choice, and there are some things that fall away.
All right. Okay, cool, guys. Podcast is over. Question has been answered. No, thank you. Thank you, Nyasha. PC?
My quick answer is no.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Yeah. Can a hand function as a foot? Possibly, but I don't think that's the plan and the design of God.
Okay.
So to strictly answer your question, I don't think a woman, and to agree with Nyasha, anybody for that matter, is necessarily designed for everything.
Right.
So we all have our tracks based on how God created us to be.
Right.
And that's what we should be.
Yeah.
And we should do in this world.
Mm. Right. So our topic today is the empowered woman, specifically, or and her husband. I've often heard guys' forums and just different conversations that men tend to have where there's this thing about guys being, what can I call it? Yes, Nyasha spoke about the women's movement, right? Where women are now more, I guess, more empowered than they were in the past. And women have more options, more choices. And I guess in some ways, the world is becoming more and more egalitarian in some sense. But then you get the flip side, which is that some men feel as if the more empowered... Okay, some men actually feel that...
Threatened.
Women don't know how to handle the power. Right. So, yeah. So there's the aspect of being threatened, definitely, which I think is legitimate. Right. And I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with a man feeling threatened by a woman in that way. I think it's a normal reaction. I'll explain why just now. But then there's the other flip side, which is that often the sense is that women don't really know how to handle the power, or sometimes Some women maybe then tend to lord it over. Or I don't know, man. There's just all kinds of feelings about this. Yeah. I'm just talking, guys. So, yeah. So about that, right? Maybe let's take a step back and actually ask this question. When we say the empowered woman,
I was gonna ask,
what exactly are we talking about? Or women empowerment? Because these are the buzzwords, right? These are the words that are being thrown around. What exactly is that?
I'm looking at Nyasha, actually. I could give you a dictionary definition of empowerment.
That was going to be my question, is to say, what are we talking about when we say the empowered woman? Like, what's our definition that we're working with? Because there are many different versions of the empowered woman. You have the what we're seeing now, nobody shoot me, but what we're seeing now is kind of like the feminazi, you know, like, I'm super feminist and, you know, I'm a woman and I don't get told what to do and I'm better than men and da da da, da all of that kind of thing. And then there's just women who know who they are, they're confident in their space, they do what they're going to do. If they're going to be great in business, they're great in business. If they're going to be whatever, and they handle quite a lot of things, right? Which is not uncommon. I mean, you know, if we look at our favorite woman in the Bible, Proverbs 31, she was a boss. You know what I mean? She was doing a lot of things. She was spinning a lot of plates, and she handled that, to your point, Cookie Monster. She handled that pretty well, it says. You know, she was the pride of her husband. So I think that's the model. And then it's sort of how much you want to read into the different elements of that. I think our society is pretty much saying we don't need a man, which is not true, whether we're talking biblically or otherwise. It just, it doesn't work. We live in an ecosystem where we exist, male and female, different kinds of species. So,
and probably again, I want to just ride off Nyasha and what she's saying. What I see, and I'm speaking from my own perspective here, when the world is talking about an empowered woman, in a line from where I stand, is a woman who's pretty much able to do whatever she wants to do, insofar as roles and tasks, jobs, etc., in society. That's how I see it, at least from how it's been painted to me by the world. Supposing we talked about empowered women from the Word of God, probably there might be just some caveats to what that would stand for, or what that would result in, insofar as what we call an empowered woman, perhaps from the lenses of Scripture. Maybe if I was just to throw it out there, she knows who she is in Christ.
Right.
She's secure. In that part, she knows her roles, according to what the Bible says. And then she's obviously able to pursue or fulfill those. And to some extent, she knows her limits.
Right.
Right. I think to some extent, if we should talk about an empowered woman from the perspective of Scripture, it's just also to appreciate, as much as you appreciate what you can do, what you should do, it's also, I think, to appreciate what you are not and what you should not probably do, which I guess the world is probably just washed away and said it's a free-for-all.
What you should not do does not exist. We can do anything, is what the world is saying. Like, there's no limits. Exactly. Everything is open. I can do everything just the same as the next person who happens to be male. So that's where we are.
And realistically, and I'm just asking objectively here, realistically speaking, Is it actually possible for a woman to do anything that a man can do? Now, of course, you know, things like reproducing and stuff notwithstanding, but I'm talking about, even that is becoming, but I'm just talking about, like, is it really realistic? Because that's the picture that the world is painting, right? That a woman can do anything that a man can do. Then I'm gonna bring it to the church just now. But I'm just saying, realistically, is that even a conversation that we can have to say it's possible for a woman to do absolutely anything that a man can do?
From where I stand, and listen, my lens is a scripture, like I'm saying, it's impossible, right? From how I read the scripture, it's a total impossibility. From how I look at the world, even then, I have never seen a country with an army which is predominantly female, right? I've never seen that. Or a police force which is predominantly female, not to undermine the other gender and so forth. I know this is not a gender discussion, but just from where I look at in Scripture, or even as I observe the world in general, I don't see that being a distinct possibility. Of course, I acknowledge that the messaging that's coming out there is this. But when it comes to, you know, practical things on the ground day to day, it doesn't seem to be the fact what the world is saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then when we talk about the, the empowered woman, right? Obviously, it's referring to the fact that throughout history, we observe that, women were in some ways suppressed. That's why they needed to be empowered, right? Or maybe just the way society was structured, there were certain things that women could not do. Mm. Even though sometimes they had the capability, even though they were maybe even more capable than their male counterparts, but they weren't allowed to do because of the way society was structured. But now some of those structures are being undone. Now, how does this now play out when we bring it to, let's just say, a marriage setting, maybe a Christian marriage setting, where you've got maybe the wife is the one who is the boss lady at work. Maybe she's running a business or she's got some C-level position, and the hubby is just your regular mechanic, or no offense to mechanics, we love you, or but he doesn't have maybe a high-powered, prominent position. And the wife is the one bringing home most of the cheese. How does that dynamic play out? How is it supposed, to play out?
And yeah. it's a question that I'm eagerly wanting to speak into.
Okay.
Firstly, from personal experience, and then just again, I keep saying it from my own understanding of Scripture. When I was young, when I was a teenager, I used to say, I have no problem with a wife earning $1 billion and a guy being a regular guy. Mm-hmm. And I remember I used to actually boldly say, I would be very happy to stay at home with the kids, watch test match cricket all day, whilst the madam is doing a thing. I've got no problem. I'm secure. I'm not challenged. And then I remember a friend of mine came and I told him this. I think we had just progressed in life. We're a bit older. We're young adults. He pointed me in the face and he said, dude, you don't know what you're talking about. Never. I do not permit a woman to earn more than me.
And that's suffer a woman.
I shall not suffer a woman. Never, never. With a strong never.
Never.
You know? Mm-hmm. And that was that. And then I eventually got married and experienced marriage to learn some things that I know have been bandied or taught around across, which I discovered by experience, which then obviously has helped frame where I'm coming from. With regards, let's just start on the income debate. So let me lay out my cards. Mm-hmm. I do agree with the fact that I think men should never earn less than their wives.
Okay.
So that's where I stand. That's where I particularly stand.
Okay. May I ask why?
Exactly. That's where I'm getting into.
Okay, thank you.
In a marriage setting, this is what I learned from marriage. And I'm a pastor. So I've counseled many couples as well. So I've seen certain things play out. And then again, from how I read Scripture, I agree with the people who say that what do men want and what do women want? I've learned from counseling countless couples that the one thing that every woman wants in a relationship above many things is love. You can twist this love word into things like attention. That's what I've seen. And the one thing that the married guys like the most, even above sex, is respect.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was about to say sex, yeah. But thank you.
Uh-huh. You see, so I actually learned after many years of marriage that the thing that I actually want above anything in my marriage is respect. And so the dynamic that happens, unfortunately, when the woman, with the greatest respect to her, please, is earning more than her husband, right? It gives you a scenario which I can give in an example of a person fasting before their favorite food. Okay? So a person can go on a fast, right? And then you put their favorite food right in front of them whilst they're fasting. Strictly speaking, you're supposed to carry on your fast. But practically speaking, you're putting a person in a very untenable situation where they might do something against their very principles. So now when you've got a situation when a woman earns more than her man, whether you like it or not. The thing called respect can quite easily be eroded when decision making and certain opinions happen to come to the table. In fact, I'd even put it across the political discussion as well. Whether we like it or not, the poorer countries have less respect on the table, because when they get to talk to the big nations, you know, we're going begging, we're going asking, we have got very little leverage over whatever discussion. So we basically are spoon-fed what we should say, believe, or want. We actually are not decision makers simply because from an economic perspective, we are less, whether we like this or not. So is it possible for a husband and wife to survive in such a situation? I would say, is it possible for a person to fast before their favorite food?
Sure.
You see, so that kind of a thing. So I now, from experience, my own experience and what I've seen as well in ministry and in life, would say, I agree with my friend who told me, my man, it is a dangerous thing for a woman to earn more than a husband. Maybe I can even complicate this now because we discussed it with my wife. When we then said, how about if the wife is a billionaire and the husband is a millionaire, where affordability of everything might not really be a very practical thing that we said, but still, there might be $100 million issues that might still make the husband's voice less prominent in certain discussions.
PCH Momira. Just...
The word Chimomira means what, by the way?
just hold up. Hold up a sec. So, wow. I'd never... Like that analogy that you use of the poorer nations and stuff. What about... Auntie, these ladies are being taught character.
Submission.
And submission. Mm. And... that you can be a boss lady and a godly, submitted woman at the same time. Nyasha. Dijeri. Is that not... So I'm saying... Are we then saying that these ladies just struggle or just don't know how to handle...
submission.
The power or the sheets once the... Once they have more, I guess, more ability and capability.
More power.
More financially, especially.
Especially.
Power.
Okay, fine.
Corrupts. We know this. We know this. And again, I'll say that it goes across the board, whether you're male or female, right? Because as Pastor Craig was talking, I was thinking, I know of situations where women are feeling so disempowered because their husbands earn more, because they've chosen to stay home and look after the kids for various reasons. And actually they've given up their careers, they've da-da-da-da. And they're not entirely fulfilled. You know, like the kids are slightly older, they're doing whatever. They can go back to work, but they can't. They haven't yet, or whatever the case might be. And it sometimes feels like the husband lords it over. You know, whether you want to or not, those conversations happen. And then suddenly you kind of feel like, oh, excuse me, is that because I don't have anything to bring forward here? I'm not, you know, I'm also not putting my money on the table. So now I don't really have much of a say. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So I think that power play is sensitive either way, really. Yes, the man is the head of the house and he's a priest and all of those things. But I think how you treat each other and how you manage those situations in your marriage is a question of character on both sides. Right? Because you shouldn't be lording it over your wife. If we think about complementarianism, that's her role. She's fulfilling her role perfectly, mm-hmm. right? She's looking after the children. She's looking after you. She's looking after your home. She's making sure everything is great, you know, looking after your parents even, whatever the case might be. She's living out her role as a mother, a wife, or whatever she's expected to be. And you are living out your role. I'm... wow, my 21st century nearly came out just then. I was like, I'm not going to thank you for putting food on the table. That's your role, dad. You know, you got kids, you got a wife, put food on the table. Right. But also, as like as a husband, that's the expectation, right? That's what you guys tell us, that, you know, men are hunters, men are providers. So that's your role. So then don't now lord it over your wife because you're doing your role. That's your role. That's your God-given role. Live your role. Do it with grace and love and all of those things. Yeah. And everybody kind of is happy. So I think when now it's the other way, you know, it's not necessarily to say, ka statement, ka mam chada so kanga kachingundi, mara mara huchi, women can't handle the power.
No, it was a question. It's a question.
It's not the case that we can't handle the power, but I think when you live in a space and society has many, many ways of signaling to us women that we are still not good enough, regardless of qualifications, experience, whatever the case might be, we still are not good enough. So when you get the chance, yes, some people might get a little bit too trigger happy and whatever. But again, I think it boils down to the state of your relationship. Like, respect. Yes, men love respect and all of that, but it goes both ways. Do you know what I mean? We should be respecting each other. Now, I had a similar kind of conversation with a boy I was in Bible school with, and he was like, oh, you know, women can't be female preachers, all of that sort of thing, they can't lead churches, all of that conversation. And I was like, well, actually, I've seen it done really well, where the husband and wife kind of do it together, but not like the wife is like the main person that everybody knows, the husband is doing whatever he does as a supporting role to make sure everything goes. However, when they are now in the home, I am not Archbishop whoever, I am Mrs. Jones, you know, okay. And you have to be able to manage your roles very well, which I think sometimes doesn't work that well. It depends, because sometimes you make us suffer. And then now we're just like, okay, well, I mean, so do you want to say something? Because I bought the car, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, character.
Okay.
Goes both ways.
But can I say something, though? And thank you for sharing that. I do kind of feel like, and I don't want to make it seem like we're ganging up on the woman and the woman in the room here. Very open, please, open gang conversation. But I do kind of feel like you, the examples that you used are a bit, are a bit extreme, in the sense that, for example, PC mentioned that women generally gravitate towards desiring love, whereas for men, respect is a key thing, right? But then men desiring respect does not mean that women don't desire respect or that women are not given respect. Of course, it's a mutual thing, in the same way that love is a mutual thing. But I think it's on, if we're to swing the pendulum, right, there's just a certain leaning towards respect that men naturally have that women probably don't. In the same way that, you know, a guy, the way as a man I want love is, I don't want you buying me flowers and all those nice things all the time for me to feel loved. It's just different, right?
Respect me.
Exactly. So I'm just saying that, so I find that, there's got to be that clarity. And then, what's the other point? I've forgotten the other point, but we'll come back. I think it'll come back. So in a Christian, like in a home dynamic, PC mentioned that, just as somebody who's married, somebody who's been married for a long time, as a pastor who counsels a lot of couples, that the respect and love thing is a big thing. I have observed couples where the woman
earns more,
where you can see that mom is the boss here.
Yeah.
I won't lie, sometimes you almost feel like the dude is just there, he's just out there, or he's just, he kind of tends to disappear. So I don't know what that is.
For me, listen, and I know I could get in trouble here. I did a bit of a reflection just looking at marriage and how God intended it to be in the first place. You know, the law first mentioned, which some of us love to go back to say, okay, when God designed this thing, what was happening? The truth is, the hunter was Adam, and Eve came as a complementer to a guy who was actually working. And to some extent, if you then look at just the entire book of Genesis, the primary role of a woman, I know I could get in trouble here, was actually in the home, whilst the man was going out. That is how it was in the beginning. I dare say, and I could get shot for this, that is probably the most perfect way things should be. However, just looking at scripture again, holistically, how things are in the beginning is not always how things are. Divorce was not a pattern in the beginning, but it's a reality we have to live with. Mm-hmm. Now, sin was not an intent in the beginning. It's something we have to live with now. Mm-hmm. Okay? How I look at it now is we may have imperfect scenarios where sometimes you've got these factors that are playing out. Like you've just said what I've said, I believe that a man must earn more. How about people that are already in situations like that? Mm-hmm. And I'd like to pick something from what Nyasha said, which is very critical, in that she talked about character. I say Christian or godly character. Like when she mentioned submission, or when we mention issues of submission, it really takes godly character to submit. Here I'm not talking about women. Okay, I'm talking about all of us in general.
Yeah.
Okay, for me, who's a professor, to submit to a pastor or an elder who might be less educated than I takes grace. For me, who is a professor, to submit to a police officer who might not have the same number of years on earth as I or the same amount of education as I, it takes a lot of godly character.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, that is lacking in the world.
Mm-hmm.
As we speak. So what balances, in my view, these scenarios where things are like that is really the godliness in a person that's going to help them to submit. Even where a man, by the way, earns more than a woman, it still takes godliness for a woman to submit. I was talking to somebody before I came here, reflecting on King Solomon, when he says it's better to live at the corner of an attic than with a quarrelsome or nagging wife. I asked my friend, I said, you know, I've got a thesis or a theory to why Solomon said it. And my theory, unqualified, is this. One of the guy's wives must have drove him up the wall. And even though he could have killed, destroyed, hurt, beat that one, I'm sure he had no capacity to do something to her. So what does a man do? He writes it down somewhere. It's better for a man. I think it was from experience. Guys, I could be wrong. All right? I could be wrong. But there's women, regardless of who you are, you're Putin or you're Hitler, you know, there's women who can sort you, regardless of how powerful you are.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
So, it takes godly character.
Yes.
You know, to put yourself under the husband that you've given yourself to. And this is not impossible.
Mm-hmm.
This is not impossible. When you get into an aeroplane and you discover that the captain or the first officer is a Muslim and you're a Christian, you know, you don't start complaining or refusing to follow their directives simply because they have a different faith to you. You willingly submit and know that once you're up there, they have their role, despite whatever issues you might have with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's character. The issue here at the end of the day is character, even handling empowered women, empowered men. To some extent, even if we flip it out, I'm a man, my wife earns more than me, and my friends are laughing at me, my family doesn't respect me, her family thinks that, you know what, I'm a good-for-nothing douchebag who's just creaming off their daughter, you know, what's happening? It takes a lot of character to be in that place with grace, show leadership to my family and to my wife, and then keep going. That part, you know, that part really exposes whether or not we're really true children of the living God. And think about this. Mm-hmm. I know I've talked a bit more here. But Jesus was God.
Mm-hmm.
But he brought himself down
to
the earth to submit to the very people and institutions that came out of him.
Can you imagine?
So character, I think, is a... is an important key thing.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. I love that character, the C word. So bringing it back just to a pragmatic application here. So what do people now do in terms of, right, a single guy who's looking for a woman to marry? Sometimes somebody can tell that, ish, this chick is already quite well accomplished in her career or her ambitions, right? Does a guy now, thinking of what we're just talking about, does a guy now, is a guy now supposed to just be like, she's already a chartered accountant, or she's already got this qualification, whatever, whatever. I can see where she's going. Nini, I've just got a diploma. And you can see kumberiga, this person is going, and I'm not gonna catch up. So, it's wisdom to say, ish, do I really smack panapaga? I don't think I should go for it. Based on that, would that be the wise thing to do, or does it mean that? Because what I often hear is, you know, guys, you know, you gotta shape up, and if you really want this powerful woman, you gotta do what you gotta do to get her. But I'm just saying, what is the actual wise thing for somebody to do in a scenario like that?
And sorry again, I'm just wanting to jump on that. I think the first thing you want to look at is the basic fundamentals in selecting a future spouse. It's not so much that. For me, that's secondary. It's important, but it's secondary. It's coming down to who they are in terms of, are they a right fit regarding their godliness? It's very important. Why? Those marriage vows are not there for nothing. Whenever you get married, most people get married, do not get married with the idea of changed circumstances. Okay? I know a certain man who was a high flyer in society who experienced one mishap physically that impaired him. And so then immediately switched roles insofar as income in the family was concerned.
Right.
But when they got married, he was up, she was down. Mm-hmm. So if how we're earning or where we're going is the only factor that a person, or the primary factor that a person is putting at play here, they're not always putting changed circumstances. My pastor used to say, when you say you want to marry this girl, what if a week after you married, hot water goes on her face and it's disfigured? So now, are you still going to love her? So, you know, one thing about marriage is going to introduce a lot of changed circumstances. That if career or career path, and please, I need to say what I'm saying, it's important to take into cognizance this. If your wife is going to be Angela Merkel, dude, be careful, right? As in, just know what you're getting into, right? But the first thing is the godliness of the person. The godliness of the person insofar as their maturity in the things of God and their Christian character, again, as we come, that must be the central thing. Because if whatever happens, she's able to handle you, the husband, with grace, even if, you know, the scenarios change, that kind of a thing. Even if they don't change and you're still up and down, I'm talking economically here, she could still be a headache to you if who she is inside. But then, coming back to your question, definitely consider it. Ask yourself, okay? It's not just that. When I was getting married, I was getting married to a nurse who was going to become a doctor. I tell singles that whenever you're getting into marriage, count the cost of that marriage, okay? Or that relationship. So I had to ask myself, my wife is in the medical profession. Chances are that she might see a lot of naked guys. Do I want to live with the idea that she actually, you know, handles those. And by the way, she might have one-on-one sessions with, how about if she meets someone who she thinks is handsome? Okay. By the way, it's never happened in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Right? So in my case, it's a consideration. So you can't just say, I want a Christian woman. But okay, she's Christian, but do I want such a woman? Do I want, I never knew I was traditional like that, by the way. I thought I was raised salad, you know. Upmarket, blah, blah, blah. One day I discovered that I actually don't like, and I know people can hate me for this, but I don't want to get home before my wife. You know, I want to get home and she's waiting for me. That's me. Now, you can't input at the desires and values. I just like the idea that I get there and she's waiting for me. Yeah. That's me. Mm-hmm. Another person might not like the idea that the wife travels for 2 out of 3 months in a year. And then they're at home with the kids and so forth. So I'm saying to say, even though you're considering character, there's also this cost that you must also say, okay, really, so supposing she goes this way, am I actually willing to live with such kind of a person? They're in the news, I'm not. So yeah, so it's not primary, but it must be. It definitely must be taken into account, because some people, once it happens, they're not quite able to live under the shadow.
Right. It gets problematic. Thank you. Thank you, PC. Nyasha? I'm just trying to reverse this guy. A dude who's just, maybe he's not at the same level as you are, but he's a great guy. He loves God.
Loves you.
Great character. He loves you. But you can tell that, no matter how hard this guy works, he just doesn't have the same drive in life as you do. So chances are you're going to be the one who's going to be on top of the food chain and whatever. But he's a great guy. I'm saying, as a woman, how does that play out? Is that an automatic disqualification?
You know what? It's so funny because I'm considering all of these questions, right? Just thinking about like future spouses and all of that kind of thing. Just been having real conversations with me and God, and I'm like, Lord, you know the life I like to live. One of the things that I have actually been thinking about, which I have in my mind about lots of other things. So I love what Pastor Craig was saying, because in my line of work, I meet people on the worst days of their lives where everything has changed for the worst, right? And so those roles are flipped like that. And constantly I have to say to people, like, you really need to think about who you pick as a future spouse, you know, because when life changes like that, it's character, it's who they are, right, that is going to keep them with you. I have seen people walk out of the hospital and never return, right?
Darn.
Because they can't handle this situation now. This person is now disabled, or they think it's a forever thing. Meanwhile, modern medicine can do a lot of things, but it's just a little too much for them. They can't handle it and they leave. This is your forever. You said your vows, you did whatever. This is the guy. This is the, you know, maybe he had the this, or it's the girl, you know? She was amazing. But that didn't hold it in that moment. That wasn't enough. That wasn't enough substance for that moment of life changing. We live in Zimbabwe, guys. Life changes, you know, in a heartbeat. And I remember thinking that, like, things look different. Even, like, when my parents speak to me and they're like, when I was your age, I had this. And I'm like, Mom, how is that even possible for us to even imagine having what you had at our age? Do you know what I mean? They were, like, buying houses, do you know, just to, like, you know, get to their dream. I can't afford a house, you know? And that's now across the world. Young people cannot afford to just get on the property ladder, cannot afford to just, you know, whatever our parents were doing at our age, we're just not doing it, right? So when it comes to thinking about this future spouse, I was like, oh God, is that the growing thing? Like, you know, I'm of a certain age. I don't want to do much growing with somebody. Can they just come with what they come with? And then we grow that, you know, we take it from there.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, we have no idea what God has planned. We have no idea what's ahead. We can work with what we have, but we also know how God has changed, like completely flipped the script on so many things. If I think about my own life, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I'm 2 years ago. Yeah. Okay. You would have been like, girl's doing all right.
2 years later.
2 years later, here I am trying to like make something of myself in what feels like a foreign land, because I've never been an adult in Zimbabwe, right? So I'm now like trying to figure out how things work, and you know, I'm just, so even when I look at myself, I'm like, I'm not the person I want to marry. Like, I need to be at this.
so would you like it if the guy you're with is less able than you?
Less able in what ways?
Economically. Where you are right now, you get a very nice, dedicated guy. with what you're talking about right now, the dude is there, but he's two steps below you.
Okay, so I'm going to use a word I hate, right? But I guess you kind of have to look at the potential. I say potential has an age limit, though, because like if you're 41, 42, 45, at some point, by this point, we need to have seen some of that potential. Okay. But what I'm saying is, what does he have going on? Mm-hmm. Can you see that thing happening? Personally...
Bring it. Bring it.
It's a no, because I have a certain... I have certain things I like. I have a certain life I like to live. So if I feel like maybe you're not going to... like, us being together will not allow... me to have the life that I want to live, I'm really going to consider that as like, you know, maybe
a deal breaker
because I'm like, well, there are certain things I want, a certain life I've lived and I want to live. Mm. I know I'm going to get there. So if you're, and also mindset, I think, you know, because there's the whole backgrounds thing, but like also then your mindset, if your mindset is like, oh no, so different to mine, then no. Like some guy was talking to me and he was like upset about people wanting to go to dates at Sem Levy's village and people should go to Joyner City. And I was like, my guy, goodbye.
Like, so why was he being serious or was he just...
No, he was being serious. He was like, why should people go to Sem Levy's? It's expensive. And I was like, I mean, it depends what you're doing, but it's also quieter. It's just a nice place for a first date. Like, you know... what's the issue for me? That's like my stomping ground. Like I used to go there when I was a teenager. Like it's no big deal. Do you know what I mean? And so this guy is now telling me, Kuti, you can't even go to coffee at St. Levy's. Like I'm like, my guy, it doesn't work.
Right.
So you got to think about things like that as well. Like that mindset, that mentality is unlikely to change at his age.
Okay. Got
so
it.
For me,
got
by
it.
The way, potential, the age limit of potential for me is 20.
Yeah.
Yay.
Praise God.
This guy.
Please, somebody. Everybody's trying to tell me otherwise, but you know, you gotta. Yeah.
Okay. And just to agree with her again, for me, how Nyasha has spoken is for me the hidden mindset in every woman out there. Okay? It may not come out straight, but every woman out there is. So I was talking about money the other day. Okay, this might be controversial, but it's all right. I was saying money is like a
Zimbabwean. You've already said a lot of controversial things.
Just you carry may as well.
I was like, money is like a Zimbabwean slave queen. You know, it is. It really is, you know. Money is like a Zimbabwean slave queen.
Okay.
How so?
I said money will not go where it's not. So just like a slave queen, she won't go out with a guy who's climbing on combis, like say. Right? She's too ashamed to play around. As well, your typical slay queen is too ashamed to date people at a certain level. All right, so she'll swiftly exit that chat, supposing she sees that's what's happening there. And I'm saying this to say, every woman out there has a basic standard of life they aspire for. Supposing you as a gentleman are falling beneath that standard, we might start off well today. We might be smiling and laughing today, but sooner or later, you know, when the rubber meets the road or hits the road, you know, the attitudes might start coming out subtly up until eventually you could actually be openly, resisted or disrespected simply because you are at a certain level and you're failing to guarantee certain basic things.
Right.
All right.
Right.
So. I argue it's across the board. I argue it's across the board. It's different when you are above. Okay? And remember, we talked about character.
Yeah.
So we're not saying character must be out of it. But generally, that's why I said fasting in front of your favorite food.
Yeah.
Right? If a person breaks their fast, you know? So that kind of thing. So this is why I'm saying much as a woman is empowered, and she must... To whatever extent that's rightly possible or necessary, the gents must always also be aware, right? They must also be aware of this hidden dynamic, right? And to flip it over as well. There's something about a guy as well. In fact, when you're making financial decisions, then she makes more, right? She makes $5 and you make $3, and you want to buy something worth $4. right? And she says no. Right? And then she says, I didn't say, she says no, all right? She might be nice, dutiful Christian, and says, you know what?
No, babe.
That's really, no, babe.
No, daddy.
That sounds nice. I hear you. However, you know.
However.
You see, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
How does that play out?
Mm.
Like I said, we're talking to people who are not yet in these scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're married, if you come to my office, I tell people, the moment you're married, you're like a passenger in a plane. You're supposed to submit to that person. And you can't call him stupid. You can't call him a dunderhead. You can't call him a bad husband. Because if he is that stupid...
You chose him.
Why'd you marry him?
How about the person who chose him? If he's very stupid...
Right.
Oh, snap.
He's stupid.
Oh, snap.
Okay? What of the person who chose that stupidity? Who got convinced... To get into.
Yeah.
In Shona, we say, I can't believe this, right? So who's the stupid person there now?
Sometimes it's bumak pussies.
You see? So if the moment it's you're true. Married, as a woman, what you're technically saying is, I actually tell singles that if your husband says, we're moving to Kumusha, the moment you're married, submission says, we go where you go. Because you submitted to the guy you chose to get with.
Yeah.
All right. So these are the things that people must think about before they marry. And once you're in it already, God has to be part of this thing.
Mm.
God has to be a part of your life, really, because these tensions will then always be there. Shall we take our kid to a group A school?
Right.
The husband says, oh, well, with what we're earning, you know, including your salary, which is more than mine, I think we should go to a good government school, you know. And then the wife's like, but
you've always wanted your kids. The wife has always wanted her kids to go to
and
a
you know,
school.
Yeah, this is it would set them up for life. Blah 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 blah. And I know we don't earn that much, but we can do this.
Yeah.
That kind of, these are some of the tensions that come. Do you submit to his good government school model, or do you insist lovingly? You know, submissively, that we still go for
submissively
to the private school scenario.
Yeah.
And so it goes across. And like I said, right now we're talking just husband wife.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There is the third element here, the externals
mm-hmm.
that are also a part of a marriage. Which these things can play into as well. So,
goodness. All right, yeah, please, you want to say that?
Well, I was just going to say, I feel like, as people, I don't know why we do it, but we're kind of bucking against kind of, you know, the if you think about God as this amazing coder, right? Mm. He's made all these codes, it's, you know, all the programs and whatever. And we keep trying to rewrite the code. Do you know what I mean? And we just... can't get that. We can maybe change something here and it might work for a while and it's looking great, but there'll be a system failure somewhere and then you've got to go back to, you know, kind of the blueprint and figure out like, okay, what do we know? We just need to use the same code. And, you know, as you were talking about what I was saying, I was like, I mean, it's just how things have always been. And sometimes we just have to be okay with that, to say, yeah, maybe it doesn't sound good on our ears, but yeah, the husband maybe should be the one who earns more. Of course, I make room for life changing and, you know, somebody might get retrenched, something might happen. But I remember having this conversation with a few ladies at church and they were like, yeah, but it should be like transitory. You can't stay in that space. Like it needs to change because we're working outside of our roles, both of us, you know, like the husband, yes, he loves the children, he loves being daddy, but for a time, because it's outside of who he was innately created to be. Mm-hmm. He needs to go back to being the provider. He needs to go back to feeling empowered to be the decision maker. The example of the $4 and the $3, right? Because at the end of the day, it really isn't your money. Even if I submit it to you, you kind of feel some type of way, right? So the code has been written and we don't like it. Empowered woman, we don't like the code, right? There were some very real things that needed to be overturned, you know, because I think all throughout the Bible, God has hidden in these amazing stories of women just to let you know what he thinks about his daughters. You know, it's not what the world has been trying to, you know, oppress women, and then no, actually God has a very high place for his female children. Like, you know, he created them male and female. You know, they were, we were part of the story from the beginning, we're going to be part of the story till the end, right? We are just as important to God, and we need to know that to God we are just as important. Absolutely. Right, regardless of what the world might try to tell you, it comes down to who are you in Christ, who do you believe you are in Christ, where is your identity, right? From, you know, Adam was working the land, Eve, she got us cursed with having painful labor, but her job was to do the babies, right? And to nurture and to do all of those kinds of things. And so I think there's something about our roles that are complementary, but like, we are made that way. That's why a woman can submit, you know, that's why over a longer period of time, I'll be okay with not earning as much as my husband. I'll be okay with being at home and being with the kids. I'll be okay, whatever, you know, whereas it's really going to grate on a man. Like, he just can't be in that situation lifelong unless that he chooses to be, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there are some men who'll be like, no, actually, I just choose to do this. But I tell you, it's for a time. I don't think it's like forever. He's not going to be happy doing that forever, because it's just not who men are made to be. And that is okay. And I think we just have to be okay with that. The code was written and we can't change it simply because we don't like it. It's okay, right? I do, you know, like I was thinking about the Slay Queen. I was like, women generally get upgraded by their husbands in a way. Like, you know, if you think about the olden days where women didn't work, so you, even if you came from a rich family, but you'd marry into a rich family too, or a slightly richer family, because, you know, like, you're going to be looked after. You're off that class, but you're going to be looked after by your husband, so he has to be able to meet at least the standard that you were at, right? You're not going to like be this aristocrat who now marries the pauper on the street. No, that's not how it, do you know what I mean? So like, we have been, women are going to kill me all around the world, but we have been upgraded by our husbands as we sort of move on in life. And maybe that's just the way it was meant to be, that he looks after us as Christ loves the church. If you think about, like, what did Jesus do for us? I mean, if I haven't been upgraded, you know, in Christ, then I don't know what my life is, right? So if
that is so good,
if he's going to love us as Christ loves the church, then buddy, step up to the role. This is, you know, it's a big role, big shoes to fill, but that's how the code was written.
I love how you put it. Perhaps part of the challenge is that you don't actually have a lot of women who speak like this. You know what I'm saying? Like, I watch sometimes, I'll come across clips on Instagram or on Facebook or whatever, where it's these conversations about men and women. And of course, a lot of them are non-Christian. But I think part of the challenge has been that, I suppose, due to the F word, right? Feminism and all its children. What you have is there's a certain mindset that then that was injected into society. And so you find that women now just either see this as some sort of a competition, or, you know, if a guy says certain things, it's like, no, you don't understand, you patriarchy. But even if we're to look at the word patriarchy and where that came from, patriarchy is a traditional word which has got historical meaning, which is a legitimate, if you're looking at it just from a historical point of view or from a biblical point of view, which is also historical, it's actually got a meaning, which is why the first, was it the first three or four generations in the Bible are called the patriarchs. They were not oppressing women. They were the progenitors. They were the fathers who birthed a nation. And so there's an actual meaning to patriarchy, but of course it's been taken out of that, out of context, and injected with new meaning, then placed back into society. And now when people hear the word patriarchy, they don't think about it in its original meaning. Mm. They think about it based on modern feminist studies, which is really unfortunate. But just thinking about this, that I think, I'll be honest, there's something about a feminine woman. Let me explain that.
I actually feel you, and I'm.
You know what I'm saying? There's just something about a woman who is, and I'm speaking as a guy here. Mm-hmm. You can talk about, hey, she's a boss, this, yeah, and it's cool. Like, kudos to you, do your thing, right? Mm-hmm. But there's just something in me as a man that is drawn to a woman who is just a woman. Because I don't want to be with another dude. I don't want to be with somebody who's trying to compete with me. I don't want to be with somebody who's trying to be like, hey, I can do it too. Of course, I want you to do it. I want you to achieve all the great things that you want to achieve. But I've been put off by so many, I've been put off by so many women, right? Mm. Who just bring this whole vibe that I'm like, hey, we're not, like, this is not a competition, you know? Chill. You know what I'm saying? So maybe, I don't blame them per se. I think part of the problem has been, you know, the age we're in, all the different things we're feeding on, all the different worldviews we're listening to that have affected both men and women. Yeah.
And can I say part of the problem is actually men?
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. I've got hard words for men. I actually speak very hard words for women and men. Generally, if you're a woman who complains about your husband, I've got issues with you because you don't know how powerful you are.
Mm.
You don't.
Yeah.
You actually don't. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A woman who complains about her husband is like a doctor who complains about their patient.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, you're an upgrade. Dude, are you not an upgrade? You came after to help somebody who needed help and didn't even know he needed help. So.
I love it.
Why is the mechanic complaining about a car that's not working? So I believe many women, by the way, don't really know just how powerful they are.
Yeah.
Right.
That's number one. But I also have got a strong gripe with guys, actually. With guys who don't know their place. Like you're saying, feminism and the discussion in the world, the narrative that's been thrown off. I must say and clarify here and put it as a matter of record. Some of these noises are noises in a certain place, not across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so go from east to west, north to south. Be careful that some of these noises we see in media or on social media, we then assume that that is what the world is like.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. Okay, go onto the ground, you discover a very stark reality, even in societies we think would be espousing some of these so-called noises. So I'd like to free some people to say, hey guys, please. Also, go onto the ground, you discover a very different reality. Mm-hmm. But here is my issue with guys. We also need guys to be strong.
Yeah.
And this has got nothing to do with feminism. It's negative issues or what the society is saying. I got this from a pastor friend. For every Proverbs 31 woman, you need a Proverbs 1 to 30 man.
Right.
You see? For a Proverbs 31. So listen, my daughter is very smart. I see a very good future for her.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think she can be whatever she wants to be in the world. Okay. She needs an equally strong man to be able not to be intimidated by her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And able to let her fly and become what she must become.
Yeah.
Whilst he still remains the man.
Mm-hmm.
What I know about a strong man is, regardless of how, you know, hard a woman is, she's opinionate, a good guy is like a snake charmer, my guy. A good guy is like a snake charmer or a lion hunter. You know, he's able to bring down even the vilest of women. I always say that no matter how beautiful a woman is, there's words that can, I hope I'm not being bad here. There's words that can really...
Just say it.
I don't know if I should say them.
I'd say them, please.
No matter how beautiful a girl is, and how nothing you are as a guy.
Mm-hmm.
If you just say to a woman, girl, you're ugly.
And wakashata.
Wakashata.
That's not what I was thinking.
Even if she comes and says, hey, 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 women's rights, hey, fine, leave her.
Yeah, you've stabbed us in the heart. Come on, man.
I'm saying she's just been appointed Miss World yesterday. When she sits by herself, those words. Because generally... with the great respect, I'm not saying women are poor and just weak and just feeble. You know, our words as men, have a very profound effect on
that's
women.
True.
And to some extent, that's why the pushback is there as well. So a good guy, a Proverbs 1 to 30 man,
mm-hmm.
knows how to get a woman, right? Choose a woman rightly, help her to become what she is, whilst mm-hmm. still maintaining his place.
I love it.
That's now, if you're a weak, if you're a weak dude, you can hide, because I hope this conversation we're having here is not pinging or being misinterpreted to be, let's ride on women, let's mistreat them, mm-hmm. let's stomp mm-hmm. on them,
definitely
because
not.
Women must not earn more than men. If mm-hmm. that's
definitely not,
that's not what we say.
Yeah.
So you see, because it takes a bit of self-awareness mm-hmm. and a positive view of oneself as a guy and wisdom to be able to handle a powerful woman.
Yeah.
Because it's a powerful man
mm-hmm.
that's able to handle a powerful woman. So there, the issue now is with us guys.
Yep.
Show yourself to be a what?
Yes.
To be a man. So mm-hmm. to some extent, some of the guys that are being ridden over,
mm-hmm.
it's not really that the women are bad. Remember I said I have a pastoral experience. I've sat with women who always cry that my husband is indecisive.
Mm-hmm.
You see, he's indecisive. My husband is not bold. You know, he can't make brave decisions.
Yeah.
In fact, the things we are attempting as a family. Now, I was like to this other guy, with how you're always giving excuses to your wife, but I don't have money. You know how things are difficult. You know, you can see my situation. I said, if you're a woman, would you want to be married by you?
Mm.
I asked him, if you were a woman with how you are right now, would you want to be you? Would you want you to be your own husband? I bet you some people would be like, no, I'd prefer a better man. So
yeah.
I'm challenging my guys.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm challenging the men out there to say, guys, let's man up.
Yep.
Let's be better. You know, when we're where we are, regardless of, you know, we can tame. Please, not in a bad way. When I say mm-hmm. tame,
yeah.
All right? But we can get women and help them to be what they're supposed to be in
correct.
Christ and in God, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Pastor Craig, I love what you're saying, because I think as a single female, I think, you know, it is really difficult when you're looking out into the sea of men and you're thinking, okay, so who is going to be like a suitable spouse? And for that very reason, like, you know, you just think, I don't see a man, like who is being a man? Even if you think about like from a spiritual perspective, I was like, I don't want to drag you along. So you've got to really like, there's a lot of guys at the moment who just aren't being all that they should be in Christ. You know, they're not spiritually mature, you know, and up to that level. So you kind of think, okay. And then you think about all the other things as well. And you're like, oh my gosh, you know, and then you're told that you're an intimidating woman because you actually are just like, you're confident, you're happy to make decisions. I've had to make very hard decisions in my life. So, you know, I have no issue doing that.
Now imagine a guy who says, so what do you say we do? You know, saka Twitter, saka ruti Twitter, say, you know.
Exactly.
You know,
so, you know, where do you go with that? So, you know, like I do, I like the challenge you've given to men, to just be men,
mm-hmm.
you know, because as well, I think that's what's missing. There's been so much noise from also a very small minority worldwide about this whole feminism thing.
Mm.
And it's almost as though our male counterparts have kind of backed down, you know, they're politically correct, they're whatever, and they're not actually standing up and going, no, actually, I disagree with you, because actually, this is what we mean when we're talking about men should be men. This is what we mean when, do you know what I mean? And actually, like, giving a good enough response that kind of goes, oh, okay, no, I'm happy to be who I am as a female. I understand now what you're saying about your role, do you know? So yeah, I just want to say that I love what you're saying. And I think that there needs to be a rebalancing of the roles, a rebalancing of the noise, maybe, you know, so that we hear the good aspects of femininity, of masculinity, and the beautiful things that they are. Because I think even when you think about femininity, there's a lot of women who just be like, oh my gosh. And it's like, no, actually, there's a beauty in the way we were created.
Yeah.
And only you can do that, right? Like, a man can't be some of the things that we can be, and we can't be some of the things that men can be. I have an element of alpha energy, but it's nowhere close to your alpha energy, and your alpha energy is beautiful, and I want that alpha energy. Be an alpha. Please go and do your alpha things. I really want that, you know, that kind of thing. So we need to come back and rebalance, I think.
Awesome. Thank you, Nyasha. Mm. I think we're gonna have to wrap it up because, yeah, it's a juicy discussion, and we could go on for 2 more hours. But yeah, we're gonna end it here. But I've really loved. I feel like we've only just started opening the box, unpacking, because there's just so much to talk about. But so far, I'm loving just where the conversation went and the different things that were highlighted. Dudes, we need to man up. We need to jack up, right? And the one thing that's here to stay is that whatever we call the empowered woman is not going back, right? I think just no. The way the world is, women are becoming more and more empowered. Mm-hmm. Women are becoming more and more, what do you call it? They just become more and more empowered in their different spheres. And I think it's a beautiful thing. I think it's a great thing. Because there are certain things that women just do way better than we ever can. But at the same time, I think it's important for us to also realize that if we're looking at things from a biblical standpoint, there's a reason why there is the man and the woman. And that word that you use, complementariness, that we complement each other in a beautiful and godly way. And the world is trying to take that away, you know, which is why we're not having men where you're saying, and women who are like, but that's just all, that's weird, guys, please just don't do that. So I think that's what I'm going to say. PC, any closing words from you before we go?
Show yourself a man to all the guys out there. Be strong and show yourself a man to all the ladies. Remember to submit with grace, to submit with grace. Should you ever be above in whichever aspect of life, just remember what your role is. The same way you do when you come to church.
Right. Right. Enough said. Nyasha?
Swinging back to the first question that you asked, actually, can you do everything? I want to boldly say that, ladies, we cannot do everything and we cannot have everything. you know, we got to pick what we can do and do it really well. The things that nobody else can do apart from us, and shine in those things, you know. Being a boss doesn't mean you abandon your femininity. Being a boss means you are amazing in your femininity. You know, you grab hold of it, you're confident in it, and you do what you do amazingly. So, yeah, let's try and live in that world where we just are who we are at the best level that we can be.
Awesome. And we're not in competition, guys.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Anyway, we're going to end it here. Thank you all for listening. And if you have any questions, comments, queries, be sure to get a hold of us. And let's keep this conversation going.
Get a hold of Cookie Monster.
Us. But let's keep this conversation going. It's been great, guys. Thank you for coming. We'll catch you on the next one. Peace.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot. It's fresh. It's uncut. #RealTalk